The following broadcast is brought to you by Sons of God International and Freedom Fellowship Church. Hello, and welcome to the prophetic voice of our time, where we focus on the voice of prophecy, which is the testimony of Jesus Christ. Our host, Christina Sasso, is a senior pastor at Freedom Fellowship Church. Let's hear what she has to say to the body of Christ.
God bless you for tuning in. Hello. This is Christina Sasso of Freedom Fellowship Church and Sons of God Ministries International, and you are listening to the prophetic voice of our time. We just finished celebrating Passover week, which ends Saturday at sundown. Then, Sunday, the big event, the Resurrection Sunday. It is so great. It's been a very busy but wonderful week for all of us at Freedom Fellowship Church. For me and Joshua and Erica and the ministry team, it's very hectic. We held our Passover celebration on Friday at sundown, and then we had a wedding on Saturday. And comes Monday, Joshua and I and Mac and Erica will be flying the first flight out to Miami to go to Panama and then head towards Panama City. In Panama for 5 days, we have a special mission from the Lord. And so it's kind of hectic, but we keep a very busy and productive schedule because time is of the essence. And with everything that is happening all around us, it needs to be always celebration and honoring our God and obeying His instruction for us to be part of this great move of God. So Passover is an important feast to celebrate. The Jewish people, as well as Christians, okay, are required to celebrate this event. For the nation of Israel, for the Jewish people, they commemorate their deliverance from slavery in Egypt, okay? And they are instructed to tell this story to their children and children's children. In Exodus chapter 12, verse 7 says, "Celebrate the feast of unleavened bread, because it was on this day that I brought your division out of Egypt. Celebrate this day as a lasting ordinance for the generations to come." So celebrate. Passover is a lasting ordinance. Okay. While the Jewish celebration of Passover focuses on their deliverance from slavery from the Egyptians, we Christians celebrate it differently. Okay. The usual elements in the Jewish tradition, like boiled egg, bread without yeast, salt water, bitter herbs, and the four toasts of wine. They make the unleavened bread because they left in haste that their bread for the journey didn't have any yeast because they left in haste. And bitter herbs and salt water, they're meant to commemorate their suffering and affliction and tears. The bitter herbs, the radish and the salt, they represent the bitterness of slavery and the tears that they have shed for many generations, actually, okay? And there are three feasts that are required for Jewish people and also Christians to celebrate, okay? The Feast of Unleavened Bread, the Feast of Harvest, with the first fruits of the crops you sow in your field. This is Exodus chapter 23, verse 16. And Christians, we know this feast as Pentecost, okay? The third one is celebrate the Feast of Ingathering at the end of the year, when you gather in your crops from the field. For them, it's usually the last week of September, and we celebrate the prophetic gathering of the saints December 31st. This is what it's all about, okay? So we know that the Feast of the Harvest, which we Christians know as Pentecost, is celebrated 49 days after Passover, Okay. And for the Jewish people, the Feast of the Harvest or Pentecost symbolizes when God gave the Ten Commandments to Moses in Mount Sinai. Okay. We Christians celebrate the Holy Spirit and the birth of the church and the empowerment of the 120 disciples of the upper room, both men and women. So, as I said at the beginning of this broadcast, the Feast of Passover is required for Christians to also celebrate because Jesus commands us to do so, okay? So, while the Jewish people celebrate the Passover and retell the stories of Exodus, by removing the yeast from their households and to eat unleavened bread and bitter herbs, we Christians, we celebrate Passover. We celebrate the birth, the ministry, and the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the story that we are commanded to tell the world. Go preach the good news of the gospel. Okay? Jesus became the bread of life without yeast, meaning without sin, so that he can wash away our sins at the cross. Okay? He took our infirmities and delivered us from slavery of sins and death at the cross. He redeemed us. He made us. We were adopted into sonship and became a member of the household of God. And he made us to be kings and priests to rule and reign with him here on earth. Okay. In Mark chapter 14, verse 12 says, on the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, when it was customary to sacrifice the Passover lamb, Jesus' disciples asked him, where do you want us to go and make preparation for you to eat the Passover? Verse 13. So he sent two of his disciples, telling them, go into the city, and a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him. Say to the owner of the house he enters, the teacher asked, where is my guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples? This is not a communion. It can be the last supper or the last Passover celebrated by Jesus here on earth. Okay? And 15, he will show you a large upper room, furnished and ready. Make preparation for us there. The disciples left, went to the city, and found things just as Jesus had told them. So they prepared the Passover. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23 through 26 says, for I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So this is what we proclaim. We don't talk about the Jewish tradition. We may do them, but Jesus represents the Passover lamb, okay? In Luke chapter 22, verse 9, again, this is Jesus talking. And he took the bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And we know that Joseph and Mary celebrated the Passover regularly. And Jesus celebrated the Passover. Okay. In Luke chapter 2, verse 41 and 42, every year his parents, meaning Mary and Joseph, went to Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the feast according to the custom. They always go to Jerusalem. They're required. So it is important. And a part of the Jewish tradition of the Passover celebration is a wine. You drink four cups to toast and recline, which for the Jewish people, it is the four promises of God. The first one, I will bring you from under the burden of the Egyptians. Okay? I will rescue you from their bondage. I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with mighty acts of judgment. Number four, I will take you as my people and I will be your God. Okay? With us, when we drink the cup of wine, it's the blood of Jesus, okay? And also, we are also removed from the heaviness and the burden of the world. Because Jesus said, take upon me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Because of Jesus, we don't have to carry such heavy weight or yoke. I will rescue you from their bondage, meaning for us is the bondage of sin and death. Okay. And I will redeem you with an outstretched arm. He took our infirmities. Okay. And the chastisement of our sins. And by his stripes, we are healed. Okay. And number four, I will take you as my people. We were adopted into sonship. We became a member of the family of God. And we were made joint heirs with Jesus. And at the same time, Jesus called us to be kings and priests, to rule and reign with him here on earth. Okay. Next week, not unless the Lord changed the message, I'm going to preach about from a position of victory. Okay. I taught about this one or two Sundays ago. And we were just going to to discuss that because it is time for the body of Christ to be overcomers and victorious. Amen. So this Resurrection Sunday, it is a big celebration for all of us. If you look back on what God has done for you, what being born again meant, we will be so grateful for what our Lord Jesus Christ did. Because we always have hope. Whether we make a mistake, we bounce back. And God is more than willing to restore us from where we're at as long as we continue to obey Him and put our trust in Him. My life has never been the same again when I got born again and when I got baptized by the Holy Spirit. Everything is just so amazing. Yes, we have afflictions. Well, we have problems. Yes. Sometimes we were hurting or limping along the way, but those heavy burden and those pains and afflictions, they will pass. They are not permanent, but our hope in Christ Jesus is permanent, okay? And now we're going to discuss, since we are celebrating this Sunday, the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. In Luke chapter 24, verse 1 through 12, I'm going to read from Passion Translation. Very early that Sunday morning, the women made their way to the tomb carrying the spices they had prepared. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Joanna, and Jesus' mother, Mary. Arriving at the tomb, they discovered that the huge stone covering the entrance had been rolled aside. So they went in to look, but the tomb was empty. The body of Jesus was gone. They stood there, stunned and perplexed. Suddenly, two men appeared above them in dazzling white robes, shining like lightning. That must be something, a sight to see. Terrified, the women fell to the ground on their faces. The men in white said to them, "Why would you look for the living one in a tomb? Have you forgotten what he said to you while he was still in Galilee? The destiny of the Son of Man is to be handed over to sinful men, to be nailed to a cross, and on the third day to rise again?" All at once, they remembered his words. Leaving the tomb, they went to break the news to the 11 and to all the others of what they had seen and heard. 11. When the disciples heard the testimony of the women, it made no sense, and they were unable to believe what they heard. But Peter jumped up and ran the entire distance to the tomb to see for himself. Stooping down, he looked inside and discovered it was empty. There was only the linen sheet lying there. Staggered by this, he walked away, wondering what it meant. And of course, afterwards, Jesus appeared to Peter, and he got into conversation with these two men. One of them is Cleopas, was talking about Jesus, and he caught up with them, and they invited him for a dinner, and he explained what it meant, and then he disappeared. It was so amazing. So when we go to Israel at the Garden Tomb, one by one you go in there, and then you go out and said, "I looked, he's not here, he is alive." And we always take communion at the Garden Tomb. It is amazing because he's not there. He's the only true living God, and now we have the power of that resurrection. And what the Apostle Paul said, "I count it all loss," meaning his abilities, his experience, his training, his social status, his education. He count those loss as if they're nothing for the sake of knowing Christ and the power of his resurrection. We are beginning to witness, and more each day, that power, that resurrection power. Look at what's happening in this country. That is resurrection power that we have been witnessing prophecies being fulfilled. The wicked root that is in Washington, D.C., that has been there for many, many, many years, is now uprooted by God's own hands. All we need to do is to listen, obey, and trust Him, and this country is going to turn around towards righteousness. The resurrection power of Jesus. It is so amazing. When I minister and start laying hands on the people, those that are sick, every time when those people are desperate and they're relying on God and they're looking for me to pray for them to be healed of their diseases in the name of Jesus, you could really see their faith. And it's very easy to pray, to lay hands on people, and they just absorb it. And the Lord cannot help himself. He always healed them. He always delivered them. And that is the resurrection power that you and I have as a born-again believer and being led by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will always guide us into all truth. And just like what Jesus said in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, when the Holy Spirit will come upon you, you will be endued with power. I cannot heal the sick, but I can pray and take that resurrection power by faith and by obedience. And you can feel, just like what Jesus said, "Who touched me, I felt a virtue coming out of me." You really can feel the anointing flowing out of you. As long as your message is being received, as long as the people that you're praying for, laying hands or prophesying, that they receive, that they have faith, it always goes out. And every time you pour yourself praying and ministering to God's people, as long as they're receiving it, you get restored, you get refreshed. It continues, the flow continues, and the word of knowledge will flow. And you will have such a stamina to prophesy and lay hands to hundreds and sometimes thousands of people. And God always moves, because the Holy Spirit will fill you up with that power, with that resurrection power. And that's what we need to do. Every time you pray to God, always remind yourself that Jesus already paid for our healing, for our prosperity, for our very life, that it is there for us to believe that no matter what, you've done everything that you can, and therefore, after that, stand with your faith. Stand with your faith and continue. Do not ever change your profession. Sometimes it's really sad, and sometimes it's very distressing when you pray for somebody and then they say, oh, I hope so. Well, in Isaiah, it says, by the stripes of Jesus, we are the healed. It has not fully manifested yet. Yes, there will be pain and discomfort. The only thing that God wants of you or expects of you is to trust Him instead of putting 100% of your trust to the doctor. I trust the doctors more if I pray for them or if they're Christians. Okay? So I prayed for everyone that are in the hospital. And I not only pray for them, I also pray for the doctors, the nurses, and the medications that they take that will not have a side effect. And we need to look at everything that Jesus already have done it at the cross. So we're going to take our position from a position of victory, from a position of power, from a position of love, from a position of forgiveness, and from a position of prosperity. And I'm going to talk more about that with the next program. But I just want you, brothers and sisters, it's not too late for you to celebrate the Passover if you missed it, and be grateful for this Sunday, the Resurrection Sunday. And thank God for it. Continue to have hope. And continue to thank Him, and in spite of everything that you're dealing with, if you need to scream it and shout it out loud, just say, Lord, I trust you. Just tell me, what else do you need me to do? And He's going to tell you. There will be an impression in your mind or in your heart, and if it's from God, you can test it based in accordance to 1 John chapter 4, or you know. Will God get the glory and it will benefit you and benefit His people by your testimony? Then it is from God, okay? Take everything and move forward from a position of His love. Remember, we love because He first loved us. And if He is your first love, then you don't have to be concerned about, because He is faithful even when there are times that we have been unfaithful to Him. This particular year after this Passover and then Pentecost, it will continue to increase in intensity and in a very accelerated manner. The judgment of the wicked and the equipping of the saints and the manifestations concerning the transfer of wealth and influence. You have to prove yourself that you're faithful. You study again Luke chapter 16, verses 10 through 12, okay? Again, it's Luke chapter 16, verses 10 through 12, and also Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all of these material things will be added to you as well. Okay? Okay, I'm running out of time. Continue to thank God. Continue to expect a lot of supernatural things that will manifest, including in your life, okay? Breakthroughs are coming. Deliverance is coming. Reconciliations of families are coming. And they will be part of the transfer of wealth. You already have seeds in the ground. So don't be negative, but continue to be in a position of praise and worship unto our wonderful Savior. God bless you for tuning in. Until next time. Don't forget, the Prophetic Voice of Our Time is on YouTube. Please subscribe and like us, or you can go to our website, sogmi.org, and we have all the live stream and even the previous prophetic Voice of Our Time broadcast. And you can also find us in other apps like Spotify. Okay? So God bless you for tuning in. Until next time.
Thanks for tuning in. You've been listening to the prophetic voice of our time. We really hope you were blessed by today's episode. And if you were, we want to hear from you. You can call us at 210-695-1630. Or you can email us at sogmi@outlook.com. That's sogmi@outlook.com. And we really encourage you to visit our website, sogmi.org. That is sogmi.org. That's where you can listen to previous episodes of this podcast and even support this broadcast. We're supported by listeners just like you. So if you want to support this ministry, you can go to sogmi.org and hit the donate button. You can also send a check to P.O. Box 1579, Helotes, Texas 78023. Again, that is P.O. Box 1579, Helotes, Texas 78023.